Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I have a special announcement from Pastor John McIntosh. He is extending a special invitation to every father, grandfather, uncle, and son to come join us in a special Father's Day teaching at our church. Pastor McIntosh will be sharing on the responsibilities of the man according to God's word. This teaching is for the young and old, as it will outline the duties of the man in the Christian family. Pastor has a heart for God's men and a godly assignment to focus on the issues of men, our leaders in the body of Christ. This teaching will be powerful. Please join us on Sunday, June 16th at 2 p.m. We are currently holding services at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. You won't be disappointed. In Jesus' name, amen. Family, let's continue with our teaching titled, The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. Most Christians know that praying should be a part of our life. But there are far too many who do not understand how to pray effectively. As a result, they blame God when their prayers go unanswered or say that the scriptures do not work. I know from personal experience that the outcome of unanswered prayers can devastate a Christian and cause the person to backslide into sin. This is one reason that our God says that His people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Listener, pay close attention to what I'm about to say. We have the knowledge available to us in the Holy Bible. However, if we do not diligently study God's word and then apply the truth to our life, we allow Satan to destroy us because we are operating in ignorance of God's promises. It is for this reason that this teaching is designed to explain in detail how to pray effectively. We will be examining why it is important to pray daily and which type of prayer to use for the specific challenge we are facing. I will be identifying 9 different types of prayers that are in the Bible for God's people to use and how to use them correctly, whereupon guaranteeing that your prayer will be heard by our Heavenly Father and your need met each and every time you pray. Keep in mind that God has told us in His holy word to come boldly to His throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us and supply all of our needs when we approach His throne according to His word. This study will consist of 10 parts: an introduction, which we completed last week; part 1, the prayer of agreement, which we will start today; part 2, petition prayer; part 3, intercessory prayer; part 4, anointing with oil; part 5, laying on of hands; part 6, gifts of healings; part 7, the prayer of praise and worship; part 8, special anointings; and part 9, the prayer of consecration and dedication. You will find out from this teaching that each of these types of prayers have clear biblical rules that we must follow. If we want our prayers answered, God's biblical rules for praying give us precise instructions on what to say and which type of prayer we should use for the challenge at hand. When you pray according to the appropriate biblical rules in faith, you will never again wonder if God heard you or if you will receive the petition of your prayer. In short, Your prayer life will not only increase in victories, but bring you the perfect peace of God that surpasses all understanding while you wait in faith for the manifestation of your petition. Listener, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you and encourage you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the first episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information regarding this important teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Please note that for this teaching, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now, before I ran out of time last week, I gave you four general steps that must be included when you pray. I would like to repeat the four steps before we start part one of this teaching. Step one, say your prayer out loud. There is no such thing as a silent prayer. Step two, pray to the Heavenly Father. Step three, your prayer requests must line up with God's Word, the Holy Bible. And step four, close your prayer in the name of Jesus. It is the authority of Jesus' name that gives us the right to transact, that is, bind and loose here on the earth realm. These four basic steps should be used for the majority of the prayers we will be studying in this teaching. Now let's start with part one of this teaching. Part one, the prayer of agreement. In the prayer of agreement, also known as corporate prayer, two or more people are praying on one accord. Now this is the critical rule to this type of prayer. All the people coming together to pray must all be praying for the exact same thing. Otherwise, the prayer will not be answered. Again, in the prayer of agreement, everyone must be praying for the same thing and expecting the same results in order for it to work. Therefore, you need to find people who are mature believers and have the same level of faith as you or greater. If you don't, people will talk you out of your blessings. They will cause you to doubt God's word. This is a caution for each and every Christian. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 say, "Do not be unequally bound together with unbelievers. Do not make mismatch alliances with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership can righteousness have with lawlessness? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Satan? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever?" Family, I want to highlight a couple of key phrases that we just read from these two scriptures. This will help you to understand why it is important for us to pray with individuals who, again, are at the same level of faith as we are or greater. Again, if you do not, those doubters and unbelievers will cause you to question the Word of God. Again, in verse 14, I want to read that middle statement that says, to unbelievers, do not make mismatch alliances with them inconsistent with your faith. If you have an individual who is not consistent with the faith that you have learned from the scriptures, you do not want to pray with them. Not in a prayer of agreement. You can pray for them, but not for them to come in agreement with you. Verse 15. Last part of that scripture says, what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Another caution. We need to examine who we are praying with. We don't want anyone who is a doubter, an unbeliever who's going to cause confusion when it comes to your prayer life. Keep in mind that two Christians can be unequally yoked. Case in point, one Christian may believe in divine healing and the other Christian does not. If this is the case, you should not be praying for your healing with someone who is not in agreement with your prayer for healing. Once again, in the prayer of agreement, all the individuals praying should be totally on one accord with your prayer of faith. If you are married and the husband and wife are both Christians with a similar level of faith, this would be a perfect partnership for the prayer of agreement. This type of prayer is also used in group settings, such as church projects, missionary assignments, and family matters. Let's read from the scriptures how important and beneficial this type of prayer is when it comes to offering godly assistance, comfort, and companionship to the prayer partners. Please turn to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read verses 18 through 20. Jesus is speaking. Matthew 18:18 says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. Verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Last verse, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them. Oh, praise the Lord. This is our Savior and Lord speaking. So we're getting it directly from the King. And he is giving us a caution to let us know how to pray and how to bind and loose. So starting in verse 18, I want to reread the last part of that verse one more time. It says, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. Our words are so powerful, family. We read some beautiful scriptures in the first episodes of this teaching, letting us know that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Here is Jesus letting us know how powerful our words are. When we line up our words with the Word of God, they have power, not just in the earth realm, but in heaven. And it is as a result of our prayers that the circumstances of life are changed. Verse 19. Again, the last part of this verse says, if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Oh, what a blessing that is to know that if we stand in faith and use the promises God has written for us in his word and speak them on this earth realm by declaring them to be so, it will be done. Verse 20. I would just want to highlight that last part of the verse that says, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them. When we come together in agreement to pray, two or more people, the Lord is with us in our midst. And that's what we want. We want him in our midst to hear our petition, our prayer, so that we can put pressure in that spirit realm and receive the blessings that have already been accomplished through the life of our Savior and Lord. Let's continue with Amos 3:3. It says, Do two men walk together unless they have made an appointment? Again, family, we want to make sure that whoever we're praying with, whoever we're coming together in a prayer of agreement, that they have an understanding of the scriptures and that they believe by faith that if we speak the word of God over this situation, it shall be done, as Jesus told us in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. So we want to make sure that we're praying with the right individuals. All right, let's also read Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting with verse number 9. Two are better than one because they have a more satisfying return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, then they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12. And though one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This passage here just lets us know that there is power in unity. And in this scripture, it talks about two individuals working together where the labor can be done with success. Because when we are coming against a challenge, when a challenge is trying to get involved in our lives, we need, like precious saints, who can understand the situation and know the scriptures and come in agreement with you to stand against anything that Satan might try to bring toward your life. Remember, it says in the scriptures that the weapons are going to be formed, but they will not prosper. And they will not prosper because we know who we are in Christ and we know how to pray and put pressure in that spirit realm. Amen. Here is another verse regarding the importance of two or more in agreement. Please go to Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Luke 10, 1 says, Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out ahead of him, two by two, into the city and place where he was about to go. Jesus himself used this principle. When he sent out his disciples, he sent out those individuals that were going to declare the good news to others. He didn't send them out on their own. He made sure that there was someone with them, two by two, so that they could operate in strength. And when one slipped or tried to fall, the other would be there to assist them and keep them on course. Amen. Finally, let's read Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Mark 6, 7 says, And he called the 12 disciples and began to send them out as his special messengers, two by two, and gave them authority and power over the unclean spirits. Now, this is an awesome scripture because here we read how Jesus gave his disciples the authority and power over Satan and his demonic forces. But the key that I want to pinpoint for this particular section of the teaching is that Jesus himself sent out his disciples, his messengers, two by two. This principle of the prayer of agreement is marvelous and it is powerful because when two individuals can come in total agreement, it will change the situations. It is a powerful way to do the work that God has called us to do. Family, this concludes part one, the prayer of agreement. Again, in the prayer of agreement, everyone must be praying for the same thing and expecting the same results in order for it to work. Keep that in mind as you use the prayer of agreement. Now let's start with part two of this teaching. Part two, petition prayer or the prayer of faith. Let's start by reading the foundational scripture for the prayer of faith. Please go to Mark chapter 11. We're going to read verses 23 and 24. Jesus is speaking. Mark 11, starting with verse 23. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. Verse 24. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. Family, this particular scripture we're going to examine even more as we continue in this part of the teaching. But I do want to highlight some key elements that we have already talked about with regards to prayer, but also the importance of staying focused on God's word when we pray. So in verse 23, it says in the first line, whoever says to this mountain. Now, this mountain can be a physical mountain, most certainly, but it also can mean the challenges of life. Those issues that come up that Satan tries to put on you, those are the mountains that you're going to be speaking to. Notice that it says whoever says. So if you're going to pray and you're going to speak to that challenge, then you're going to have to pray out loud. Then it goes on to say, and does not doubt in his heart. Now, this is a very important part of praying in the prayer of faith, because you have to know that the word of God is true. That is a key when you pray. The promises of God. Now, I'm not talking about that doubt that Satan tries to put on your mind as you complete your prayer of faith and say, oh, how long is this going to take? Why is it taking so long? You know, that little stuff that Satan tries to throw at you. I'm talking about doubt in your heart, the spirit man. If you don't know the scriptures, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, if you don't believe that the word of God is true, then praying his word will not work. You have to first study God's word, understand his word, and then accept it as the truth so that you can use it in your life as an individual, as a Christian, as part of the body of Christ. Then it goes on to say in verse 23, what he says is going to take place. Again, what he says is going to take place, not what he's going to think. Not what he thinks someone else is thinking, but what he says. And notice that at the very end of this scripture, it says that what he says has to be in accordance with God's will. So you need to make sure that what you're praying about is found in the scriptures. And that's easy to do because God's promises are all listed in his holy word. Verse 24, it says again, whatever things you ask for in prayer, whatever things you ask. When you ask, you have to say. Notice how important saying and asking and speaking your prayer out loud is, how important it is so that you can affect that spirit realm. So keep that in mind as we continue to study these various types of prayers. Then that last part of the verse says that you have received them. It says after you ask for them, you're going to have to believe that you received them. Not going to receive them, but have already received them in faith, and they will be given to you. This is the key to any prayer. When you pray, you must believe that you received them after the prayer has been said. In other words, it is a done deal. You're not waiting for it to happen. It is completed. Now, we'll be talking about that time span in terms of waiting on the manifestation of your prayer. But in the spirit realm, it is already done. That's why we give a prayer thanksgiving. Because we believe that we have received what we asked for. So,
Here is the critical rule in petition prayer, also known as the prayer of faith. We are asking God to do something for you and you alone. In other words, you cannot pray a petition prayer over someone else because that person has a free will and that person may not want what you want for them. If you want to pray for someone else, including your wife or husband, children or other family members that you may be responsible for, then you need to pray a prayer of agreement with that individual. You may also use intercessory prayer, which can be done with or without someone else's permission. I will give you more information on intercessory prayer and how it works later on in this teaching. However, I do want to caution you that praying on behalf of others does not take the place of reading God's word, confessing God's word over them, or teaching the word of God to them. You must do it all so that they can train, so that you can train your loved ones how to pray for themselves. Amen. Well, family, my time is up. And I do want to remind everyone to please come back next week as we continue with our teaching, The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.